back, everyone, to the XCast. The truth is in here. I am Tony Black, your host, as we begin coverage of Season 11, Episode 5, Ghouli. And it's great to have back for the first time on Season 11 coverage this year, my old XCast mucker, who's been here from the very beginning, Andrew Brooker.
Evening, mate. I'm like part of the furniture now, aren't I?
Yeah, you are part of the furniture. You've been here since the very beginning, and you're also one of our patrons now as
I
well.
Am.
So
I'm basically that, like an old lamp that sits in the corner. Occasionally you remember it's there and switch it on.
That's the best description of anyone long-term on a podcast I've ever heard, like an old lamp, old comfy lamp. But it's great to have you back on, because you were on for quite a bit of the Season 10 coverage. In fact, you did most of that with me, didn't you, really? I think you did like 4 episodes.
Well, yeah, kind of things, the stars aligned a little bit that in that 6-week gap.
Yeah.
People had to drop out, and I was free so I could fill in. So, yeah, I did quite a fair amount of that one, which was a lot of fun, and I'm quite glad to be back for Season 11.
Yeah, it's brilliant to have you back. This is first of two you're going to be doing with us. So, Ghouli, before we even talk about this, ever since this title was announced, I've been dying to talk to a Brit about this on the podcast, because let's be honest, right? To us, the word ghouli doesn't mean the same thing, does it?
No, well, it's very carry-on movie, isn't it?
Well, what would you do with a ghouli in British vernacular, Brooker?
Well, you'd kick it. You'd kick someone in the ghoulies, wouldn't you?
You'd kick someone in the ghoulies. Yes, everyone, dear listeners who aren't British, ghouli does mean testicle. Season 11...
That could have been a whole different episode.
Yeah, Season 11, Episode 5, Bollock. Yeah.
Monster of the Week, just this enormous... A bit like The Prisoner. You know, the white ball in The Prisoner, just wrinklier and a bit hairy.
Yeah, the X-Files Bollock. I tell you what, if Season 12 comes around... They can have that idea for free.
See, this is why I'm not allowed on the podcast, because I say shit like that.
Hey, I brought them up. I brought up the testicles.
True.
My fault. You bring this out of me. That's what happens. But yeah, putting aside what we know to be a ghouli, this episode then, obviously, which is... this podcast, is we're going to talk about Scully and Mulder, and I've flipped them round because this really is Scully's showpiece, even more than Mulder's, I think. But... Obviously, Ghouli starts with two teenage girls, Brianna Stapleton and Sarah Turner, who find themselves in a weird old boat trying to kill each other as each of them see themselves as Ghouli, which is this weird creature. And then, obviously, Mulder and Scully get involved. Scully's getting more visions. And it's all leading to a mysterious lad called Jackson Vanderkamp, who we'll get to later. But that's the setup. Brooker. What did you think of Gingangoo?
I don't know, mate. You know what? I've watched it twice now. And first time, I'm not sure I got it. Or maybe I was just not paying attention. And I kind of went, well, this is a bit... Second time around, though, I think I enjoyed it much more. I'll say I'm a little bit disappointed with how it turned out. Not... because of the story. I thought the story was fun, but the setup was for a really cool looking Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah.
And we, in the end, obviously didn't get that. But a solid 7 out of 10 episode for me, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about the second time round, because I've only watched it once tonight, and I feel the same way you did on your first go round. And it's interesting how quite a lot of the fan reaction on the XCast Basement group has been very positive towards Ghouli. So maybe I'm missing something, but I didn't think it blew me away. And I think it's possibly because, like you said, I think you were quite spot on, really, in that maybe if you go into this episode knowing that it's not about a monster, that it's not about Ghouli, that it's about William, then I think this is maybe one to enjoy a little bit more on the watch around. And obviously, you know, most of us knew that William was going to probably be in this one. I think it was like, it wasn't a massively well-kept secret, really, I think, even if you're just avoiding spoilers.
I have to admit, I'm avoiding most things X-Files with this season. I go into every episode pretty much Stone Cold.
Did you know then? Did you have any idea?
I had no idea.
After
a couple of disappointments last year, after looking at episode titles, this year I haven't looked at a single title. I haven't looked at a synopsis. I hit play and I start digging into things afterwards. So I think that's where my bad reaction came from. So I was like, woohoo, awesome looking Monster of the Week episode. And then went, okay, this is... Well, you had the monsters at the beginning. And then the way it kind of set up was... It felt like an X-Files based around like a creepypasta story, which I thought was really cool.
Mm.
Like Slender Man was.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And then you move on, and it's not. And it very much becomes about William, which is fine. I'm not that bothered about the William storyline, and never really have been. I am very cold on the William storyline. I don't find it enjoyable. I think it's a byproduct of a badly organized story arc 15 years ago that really shouldn't have been a thing. So I don't really care about it. I think this is why I ended up lukewarm on the episode first go round. Second go round, when I knew what everything was and when I knew who everyone was, I think I enjoyed it a bit more, mainly for the way people were manipulated in it. I thought it was done very well.
Yeah,
I know I've just pissed off so many people by saying I don't care about William.
I don't know, you know. I mean, there's been a bit of that. I think regular X-Cast co-host Sarah Blair will agree with you, because I think I saw on Twitter that she wasn't bowled over by it either, and I'm fairly indifferent about it. We will talk more about William, but I didn't love it. I did like parts of it. I did think there's some good stuff in it, and I do think there's some stuff we can chew into later. But I think that it is one of them where I don't know what I was expecting, but this sort of wasn't it. And I think it will reward a second watch for me. But I think if it confirmed anything, really, it's that in terms of Scully. I think this, much as this storyline is a hit and miss one, I think with William, I think you were spot on in what you said earlier. I think this is why Gillian Anderson said yes. And this scene in this episode, in fact, could be one of the reasons that she said yes. This quite beautifully done scene where she apologises to William thinking he's dead, thinking that it's probably William. A brilliant, brilliant piece of work from Gillian Anderson, who manages to... Not quite. You know, there were times in the early days when she's fretting about William. She was like, my baby. It's just a bit over the top. Yeah. But I think she captured this really well. She had that level of pure, you know, emotion and sadness. But it was just well written. You know, it was better written.
I think it's because she's got kids now.
Well, and yeah. Well, there could be that. You know, more grown-up kids. Kids William's age, you know, if not a bit older, you know.
Yeah. I think it happens to everybody that has kids. I look at a lot of things differently since I had mine. I go, oh, fucking hell. This, I'm not sure I want to watch this. And like, things just affect you differently. And I can imagine if you've got to get that out in a set. Apparently, she blew the scene away as well.
Yeah.
I was reading a thing on how they made the episode. And apparently, she was phenomenal. Like, three takes and that was it.
Wow. I'm not surprised. I think she... That was a massive bit of meat to chew on there, and I think she did that really well. I really felt, you know, I already obviously care about Scully, but I really was there with her at that point, and I was, you know, when Mulder comes in and he says, you don't have to be sorry. You know, I was like, yes, she doesn't have to be sorry. She was doing the right thing, what she thought was the right thing at the right time, and it's a bit heartbreaking to see her.
I think the Mulder thing got me more than her. Again, like, first watch, I was like, what? Why are you... What? I'm sitting there going, what's happening? What have I missed? I don't understand. But yeah, I think Mulder's interaction with her there, actually, I thought was brilliant. And literally one line, and I was like, oh, that's, yeah. I'm just going to sit in my corner and hope nobody sees me blubbing.
Yeah, and he just hugs her and says, you know, you haven't done anything wrong. You know, if we have lost him... I think what I did like about this, what I think James Wong, who wrote and directed it, does well is that nothing is too overplayed here with the two of them, in that they're both relatively cautious about even calling Jackson William. You don't hear the word William a lot, really. It's not, that name isn't used a massive, massive amount. There's that level of caution. It's not too, I mean, some of these episodes with William back in the day, they were really overwrought, and like I said, and they were, with this, it was a bit more restrained, and I liked that. The emotion didn't really need them spelling everything out in a million ways, and I appreciated that about the writing, which wasn't there back in the day when all this William stuff was swirling around. And the fact that it makes them switch around in terms of who's the believer and who's the skeptic in a way, because Scully receiving these, you know, visions, which is, what was it? I think, is it hypnagogia, I think it's called, which is where she's asleep, but she's having like dream visions.
Yeah.
She, you know, she's much more willing to go, it's William, it's got to be William. And Mulder's a bit more like, well, let's, you know, just hold on a minute. And I, again, it convincingly did that, because he's not the one going through this, she is. So it's that motherly bond, that connection that William is tapping into. I think I liked the way that it was written with the two of them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I like that it's brought the shared visions back to it. Or I like that it's brought the shared visions into it, and kind of it's made me feel a lot easier about the opening episode to this season, which I was very much against.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of that, were you?
No, I was not. Not at all. That made me quite angry.
you weren't the only one, I tell you.
But and we'll come back to the first episode, I'm sure, in a bit. But I really like that there is that connection, and like you say, there's they have switched around. But she, whether, you know, she will try her hardest to believe that it's William, whether or not it actually turns out to be, she believes that it is, with the same kind of conviction that Mulder used to put in on his, you know, Bigfoot and aliens and stretchy monsters and shit, like, all of that, the stuff that she never believed in and he did, you know, with absolutely no evidence, no proof, but, you know, gut feeling. You're right, they have switched around. But at the same time, I love that Mulder is the guy that's kind of having to steady her for that. I love that side of him. I think he's brilliant in this episode for that.
Yeah. Yeah, he is good in that sense, because he manages to, like you say, he steadies her. He keeps things a bit more focused. He's the one going out there and trying to, you know, get a bit of information about what this is all about. And obviously with Scully, it's really close to her. You know, she's having these visions. She knows it's William. And, I think there's going to be a lot of people, I think, a bit uncertain as to where this is all going. And I think there is some interesting things to unpick with what they do with William and everything like that. But I think what I appreciate about what Mulder and Scully go through in this is that we still don't know all the pieces of the puzzle, but I think they're reacting in a fairly logical way with this. They're coming at it from the investigative side. They're aware that there is some strange things going on. I really like the fact they talk about the idea of alternate reality and false reality, because this is something that's been rippling throughout the entire season, and a lot of fan speculation has been talking about whether or not we're in an alternate reality, and whether Scully seeing all that My Struggle 2 vision means that we've been shunted into another universe. This and the last episode have gone a long way to sort of going, nah, it's not that. you've been barking up the wrong tree, guys.
Yeah, I very much feel that that's Carter and all the other writers just going, No.
But that it's an interesting question, but they're barking up the wrong tree, in that the whole point of that, of what William is showing Scully, is it clearly, as it becomes now understandable, is it's a false reality. It's a reality that either could be, or it's essentially part of his way of trying to get that connection going between them, to find him. Or, well, it's a bit uncertain. It's a bit uncertain. I don't know. I mean, it's whether or not they're all being manipulated in some way. I it's hard to say, really, but I think it worked well. And I think even though they don't really beyond this have much else to do, Mulder and Scully, I think I think what they do get is good. And I like the fact that he tapped into a bit of comedy with Mulder as well, with the coffee place.
Yeah.
Bob? Will you try explaining fucks to that guy?
I don't know if this is something that's been brought up before. He's using his first name much, much more in this season. Original Recipe X-Files, he would have said Mulder when they asked for his name.
That's true, actually, yeah. That's true.
I wonder if there's a point or a purpose to that, or if it's just me going, and just I noticing more than I did previously.
It's hard to say, really, isn't it?
Because previously, the only people that ever called him Fox were Cigarette Smoking Man, his dad, and Scully twice.
Yeah. Well, he's been calling her Dana at times as well, which is something he did do in the old series, but it was seldom. You know, yeah. it was much rarer. But no, I think this episode was a bit all over the place in terms of the fact where it placed them. You know, they started off in there that they were in that very investigative mode. You know, they're looking into a case, and then it very quickly becomes something very personal. And you know, there are elements of, you know, it felt a bit like a mishmash, this one, of all kinds of different things. You know, the monster, the investigation side, the old William baby episodes, the Mulder talking to some like shady government guys and trying to get the workaround on them, you know, just a bit of a melting pot of all these different things from the old show. And I think maybe that's why I didn't love it, because I feel like it wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, and I'd say it's certainly better than, in terms of a script and story, than My Struggle 3. But I don't know. I felt
it's got that feel of one of those kind of mid-season, mid-series episodes from previously, where you'd have a bit of a monster, but there's still too much going on that you can't not talk about the mythology bits, and everything's kind of crammed in. A bit like, what was it last season? Was it the Home Again? With the hospital visit.
Yeah, yeah.
And you kind of sat there going, why is this here?
Yeah.
Why is this here at all? You know, is that, I didn't need the monster part of this. You could have made this a William episode, and it probably would have gone over better with people like me that aren't really into the William thing.
You know what? I think in the old days, this would have been a two-parter.
Yeah.
I think you had enough here, potentially, to pad this out and make it into a two-part episode. I think you could have spent the first episode really teeing up the idea of these kids and this weird ghoulie, and then at the end you get that twist that's, oh my god, it's William, oh my god, it's mythology, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, they have to do it all in 42 minutes, and it's all a little bit, oh okay, well that's just okay. But like I say, I think Mulder and Scully and Mulder were pretty much on point, you know, like they have been all season. You know, they've been, even in one, you know, I wouldn't say there's been a bad episode yet, to be honest. I think they've all been pretty good. But I think even in the episodes that aren't necessarily quite as good, they've been great. And I still think here, you know, they've, even in this, which I wouldn't say is the best episode, they were still solid.
He seems to have brought a lot from his time on Aquarius.
Mm. Yeah.
He very much feels like he's Mulder plus Aquarius at the moment.
And he's brought Hank Moody's shades from Californication. As well. He sort of cobbled together everything from his last two shows.
But I'm really liking Mulder, actually, at the moment. Mm. I'm liking his look. He feels more like Mulder here than he did in Season 10. Season 10, it took him too many episodes and too short a season to actually feel like X-Files again. Here, it just feels like I'm watching one of those kind of pants episodes that, if I was binging the whole thing, I might skip if I was desperate to get to the next one. But yeah, it at least feels like an X-Files episode. And like you say, those two are great, and they have been consistently great all year so far.
No, they have. So yeah, that's Scully and Mulder. We'll be back to talk about them more in detail, and in the next episode, William and Ghoulie itself. What there is of Ghoulie. But yeah. Until then, until we see you next time, thanks for listening, and remember, trust no one.